The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face.
I can preach revival off at other places, but it wouldn't be fair for me to put me on you for revival to preach, because I'm preaching so much and so often. But by the help of the Lord, God has the right person. And do pray for Brother Joseph that God will get him ready, that God will fill him so full of the Holy Ghost anointing and pour his power on him. Then we've got a meeting coming up in Florida. What is that, 4 weeks away, Brother Johnny? About 4 weeks, the meeting in Florida, the Holiness Rally. Brother Johnny is one of the preachers for that rally. They are just tickled at death that him and Brother Williams and Brother Priest are becoming more and more a part of our meetings and our rally. So pray for them and pray for us. Pray for all of our churches that God will move. We want to see a sovereign move of Holy Ghost revival. And we don't want it here no more. We want it there. Those other locations. We just want revival among God's people. You know, I wouldn't be angry a bit if God gave a Baptist church down the road a Holy Ghost revival, would you? How many of you would be angry about that? You wouldn't? How many would be glad for that? Absolutely. Would you be glad for God to shake up a Presbyterian church and turn it upside down and give them a Holy Ghost revival? Wouldn't bother me a bit. I'd go right there and get in the middle of it. Hallelujah. I just want a Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. I'm not jealous about it one bit. Long as God don't bypass me. Hallelujah. At least let me be part of it. Somewhere on the fringes. Amen. Good to have Joe tonight. God bless you, Joe. Good to have you back, Brother Galloway. We don't like missing you, Brother Galloway. Not at all. Good to have you back. He moved off, and Brother Allen is taking care of seeing that he gets here. I do remember now in prayer how sick. Remember Sister Ruby. She was getting ready this morning. She was going to come out in that weather and come to church. She was almost ready when Sister Chambers called her. And, of course, that's the reason I felt very concerned, because I didn't want Brother Buck falling over there on them steps out of his porch and anybody else, you know. And so we missed it, but we think we did right. Now turn with me tonight to the book of St. Matthew's, would you believe, chapter 24. Chapter 24. We're going to go and begin our reading tonight in a very powerful location of this great chapter. I love it. I really do. Verse 42. We'll read down through 51. I've really enjoyed studying Matthew 24. I wonder if anybody else has enjoyed it. Anybody else enjoyed reading Matthew 24? I ask you to read it every day this week. I don't know how many of you have done it, but I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that. Because I might feel embarrassed. No, I don't guess I would. I thank you. I'm telling you, Matthew 24, it gets inside of you. It'll shake you up. It'll shake you up. And tonight, I really feel led of the Lord to preach, beginning with verse 42. And I want to preach on this thought. The greatest reward, notice now, the greatest reward is for those watching and ready for him to come. You study the Bible, you read the scriptures, you study the word, and you'll find more great statements about the blessing of those who are ready when he comes than you'll find almost about anything else in this Bible. The Lord wants a people that love him so much that they're ready for him to come and watch him. For him to come. That's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants a people that are serious about this business of seeing him. This business of being ready when he shows and comes to get us. Oh, what a blessedness. And these verses are powerful. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now he said that twice. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now, have you noticed? He's already said similar things three times in a row, almost exactly. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. All his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, notice he called this person a servant, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you know I've never preached on these verses of Scripture in my life? And I feel ashamed of myself? Never. I've just become overwhelmed when I found and saw these movements in this chapter and how distinct they are. And how each one of those movements have a very powerful place in the teaching of God's people. It really got a hold of me. And so I want to read three verses again, 43, 44, and 46. I'm sorry, 42, 44, and 46. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Three distinct verses on the same idea right here in this great passage of Scripture. I would suggest he meant what he was saying, wouldn't you? I would suggest he knew what he was talking about. This is the Lord talking. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is preaching this marvelous sermon. Oh, really, a marvelous sermon. Father, help me now. What a blessing I have in front of me with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can get excited and thrilled about the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I remember 60 years ago, 63, when I was saved in this month of March, by the way. This month is my anniversary month. Saved 63 years ago, 1952. The month of March, in a revival, on a Friday night, the East Burlington Church of God. It was a marvelous night. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I've never got over it. I've never got cured from it. It got a hold of me, and it's been a hold of me ever since. And I remember how much they preached about the coming of the Lord. I remember how big it was. What a shout it was in the house of God. And I remember how the Holy Ghost spoke many times through these years and talked about his coming. How the message of tongues and interpretation or a prophecy would be given. And it would talk about sudden the coming of the Lord. And what a blessing it would be to be ready. And how the Lord was expecting us to be ready. And I think we can discern and determine from the many scriptures in the Bible that one of the great things that God has yearned for us and desired for us, even anxious about for us, is that we be ready when he comes. Amen. That we be ready when he comes. That we make it a priority of our life. That we make it a priority of our walk with God. That we be ready when he comes. That we watch for him. That his coming be heavy upon us. That his coming be divine and genuine in our minds. And that we truly live for that moment when the trumpet sounds and we soar out of here to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be a grand occasion. That you study this Bible, I think you can find all the way back to the book of Genesis, this excitement about the day when the children of the Lord would become his special bride to the bridegroom, and the beauty of heaven rest upon them. In fact, in my study of the devil, I don't like studying the devil, but sometimes you need to know about that cockroach. He likes to hide where you can't see him. He likes to get where you don't know where he's at. He likes to become indistinguishable to you, and we must not allow that to happen. But in the study of the devil, one of the things I believe that caused the devil to rebel and to do the evil, ugly, dark things he did was he was jealous over the Son. He was jealous over Jesus Christ. He was jealous over the Father's chosen Son, only begotten Son. And he was jealous about that. He didn't like that. He wanted that number two position in the Father's economy, in the Father's kingdom. And he was jealous about it. And I believe that was at the root of his rebellion, at the root of his evil doing. And not only was he jealous about the Son, he was jealous about the Son having this grand bride of this multitude of saints that would be the bride to the Son for eternity. I mean, this was an eternal thing. This was an eternal idea. This was marked in God's economy from the creation of mankind. This was God's plan. This is not some afterthought of God. It is not some thought of God that came to him somewhere down the road. This was in God's heart from the creation of man. This was in God's heart from the time of that garden, that there would be a chosen family. There would be a bride, and the bride would have a bridegroom, and the bridegroom would be the Father's Son. And since this was in the economy of God, and the angels knew about it, the devil decided, I got to have that place. And so there was rebellion. That's why Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. See, Jesus was in on that fall. He was in on that casting out, because he was at the root of the difficulty. You say, how do you know this? I don't know it, but I just see it so evident in many places of the scripture that I think it's worth remembering and at least thinking about. But I can tell you, there's something special about that bride. There's something special about that company that he's getting ready, hallelujah, to be his chosen. And you can just find in places of the scripture how special they are, the chosen of the Lord, the ones that he loved, the ones that he cared about. Let me take you for a minute. I didn't plan this, but let's go quickly to Malachi. Let me read you something that shows how special, how really special these people are. And we must never forget that. It is important that we don't forget it. Malachi chapter 3. And I read what he speaks of them. And here are the words. Very, very important. Listen. Then they that feared the Lord. This is chapter 3. Malachi verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. When I make up my jewels. Notice that. He's speaking about that special company, that bride company that will be the bride of his Son, the bridegroom. And he calls them his jewels. And this is all the way back in Malachi, nearly 2,600 years ago, 2,400 years ago, something in between there. Oh, what a day. What a day. And they were knowing that one day there will be this great bride. There will be this great company that will be chosen out of the inhabitants of the world and the ages, and they will be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to get excited about being part of that bride, so that you live for it, so that you look for it, so that you rejoice even to think about it, that it puts a shout in your heart when you think about being part of that bride, when you think about going up to the stratosphere to meet the Lord in the air, hallelujah, and ever be with the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah, would you? Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, that's why he said this so pointedly. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, let's spend a minute there. You know not what hour your Lord doth come. You do not know. Nobody here knows. As much as I feel how close we are, as much as I feel how imminent it is, as much as I understand this Bible and every sign has been fulfilled, I still do not know when he's coming. I do not know the day or the hour. I just know he's coming. And I know when he comes, I have got to go with him. I would rather miss everything else this world may ever offer me. I'd rather miss anything of grand accomplishment on this earth. I miss it all if I can just be part of that bride. If I can just leave here when that trumpet sounds, I don't know when it's going to be. You will never know when it's going to be until all of a sudden it be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when it happens, you'll say to yourself, wow, it's happening. I'm leaving here. Hallelujah. When you begin to feel that transformation going on and the old body begins to change and a new body begins to take hold of you and all the earthly clothing falls off because you'll be clothed in the whiteness of his righteousness. Hallelujah. And as a saint of the Lord, your feet will leave this ground and you'll be sailing away in a moment of time. Hallelujah. He said, you don't know the hour. You don't know the time. You will not know the time. No announcement. No text sent to you, as I sent to everybody I could today about church tonight. No text, no emails. I mean, no telephone calls. Just the sounding of a trumpet somewhere in God's great horizon. Hallelujah. And it will occur, and he wants you to be watching. He wants you to live for that. You say, Brother Chambers, there's too many things around me. I can't live for that. You got to live for that. Somebody said to me yesterday, does it really matter? This was on the radio. Does it really matter whether you believe in the rapture or the mid-trib, the pre-trib, or the mid-trib, or the pre-wrath, or the post-millennialism, or the amillennialism? And he named, about five, six, there's about seven or eight different ideas. I said, it sure does. It sure does. Hallelujah. He wants a people that's looking for him. He wants a people that's watching for him. He wants of people with their eyes trained on him, who are so in love with him that nothing else even matters beyond that. Hallelujah. Church, hear me. I'll read again. Watch therefore. Now, what do you mean by watch? What does that word watch really say? Say the word watch with me, will you? Watch. What does it mean to watch? Does it mean just standing, stargazing? No. Hallelujah, that may be all right, but that's not the ultimate meaning of watching. It means you have a heart that is so set on him, you so in love with him, that you can say, I'd rather be with him than be with the richest man on the face of this earth. I'd rather be with him than be with some king or some potentate. I'd rather be with him than some star, some great person. I'd rather be with him than anything on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. Watch. It means you're actually watching for him. You're expecting him. That word expected is very important. You expect him. How many of you expect him any minute? Raise your hand up. Raise it high. You really expect him any minute. That's how it's going to be. If you don't expect him any minute, you don't want him to catch you on a surprise, do you? You don't want the rapture to take place and you sit and think, you don't believe me. I can't believe this is really happening. Oh, no. Oh, no. When it happens, I want to say, I believe it. I don't want there to be a moment of doubt in me, a moment of hesitancy in me. You say, but I got loved ones that are lost. Well, that's very true. But once you're gone, I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of our kids that may never get saved until we're gone because they've become so locked in their ways and so committed to their own pursuits and their own plans. It may take me and you leaving to wake them up. I know it'll be a terrible way to wake up, and I know it'll be a terrible time for them, but I'll tell you one thing, if they've been raised right, they won't be able to not at least believe it. What they do will have to be up to them, but I'm telling you, we got to watch, so make sure you understand, nobody knows when it's going to be, and nobody can tell you when it's going to be, and Jesus was plain, and he said, if somebody says he's over there, don't you go over there looking for him. If they says he's out there in the desert, don't you go out there trying to search for him. When he comes, brother, it'll just be straight out of the above. Hallelujah. It won't be no hands of flesh in it. It won't be no great voice of some preacher who thinks he's the star. Oh, no. Oh, no. It'll be him coming in the clouds of glory. Watch ye therefore. Now go to verse 44. Wherefore be you also ready. Now, he's not going to come after people with sin in their life. He's not going to come after people who pursue in the world. He's not going to come after people who are pleasure mad. He's not going to come after people who are living carelessly because they just can't believe all of the Bible. He's not coming for people who have no care about the world of unsaved people. If you're not a soul winner, if you don't care about lost people, I'm telling you, I don't think you're ready to go. You've got to have a passion for those who are lost. You ought to be weeping for somebody every time you get on your knees, church. Hallelujah. Be you ready? What if being ready is more than just having on a coat? Man, being ready is having a heart told and sold out to the things of Christ's kingdom. Hallelujah. No one has to beg you to be in church. Man, you can't hardly stand not to be in church. Not you just can't hardly stand it. Man, I come to church tonight. I was ready to come to church. Didn't get to have church Wednesday night. Didn't get to have church this morning. Man, that's been a long time since I missed that kind of church. I don't like it. I want to be here getting ready. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. You listen to this. When Abraham sent Eliezer to find a wife for his son Isaac, and Eliezer, who's a type of the Holy Ghost, was bringing the wife of Isaac back from a strange land, really land of the family. He didn't bring her to the tent to meet Isaac. He brought her to the field to meet Isaac. Hallelujah. And what does that say? That says that the groom, the bridegroom, or the bride, they met in the place of labor, not in the place of comfort and rest. They met in the place of the business of the king. I believe the Lord's coming for the church that's busy for him. I believe he's coming for the church that cares about a lost world, that cares about people who are unsaved, that weep and pray and cry for those loved ones that are lost. If you haven't prayed lately until tears run down your cheeks for unsaved people, I would say you may not be ready for that rapture. You don't have on the right wedding garment. This wedding garment is a wedding garment of a passion for the kingdom, a passion for the lost, a passion for people that don't know the king, that don't know the savior, for your loved ones. Oh, when you're crying for your loved ones to be saved, you're doing the business of a person watching and ready for the king to come. Is anybody hearing me? Somebody say hallelujah. Something. Hallelujah. I want to be busy. Hallelujah. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I don't want no surprise. Hallelujah. I tell you right now, if he'd come tonight, I wouldn't be surprised a bit. You said, I'm going to be surprised when he comes. Then you may not be ready. You ought to be so ready that you wouldn't be surprised. Am I making sense? I mean, we ought to be ready until the next thing we hope for is leaving here and going to heaven. Oh, what a place that's going to be. What a place that's going to be. I got people I love so bad, so much, so deeply, so profoundly. I hurt. Man, do I hurt. I weep. I cry. But I'm telling you that right now, when Jesus comes, I'm leaving here. Hallelujah. I'm leaving here, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. What a moment, what a day it's going to be. Now, be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. A couple of nights ago, I heard some noise in the middle of the night. I never figured out what it was. I think I was dreaming. And I know it. I haven't forgot it. I want to be that way. I want to be so. If something unusual happens, I just kind of jump. Is this it? How? If you hear, did you know that there's people talking now, all in different places of the world, and they're telling this story that they're hearing trumpets at special times of the night. That all of a sudden, nobody playing music. Everything's quiet all over town, but all of a sudden, coming out of the northern parts, there seems to be a trumpet sounding. Seems to be some kind of strange trumpet call. And this is happening in different places over the world. And I don't know whether it's imagination, but I would think it may just be conviction that God's trying to get some people to think and to get ready for the coming of the Lord is really at the door. Oh, so be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then he says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing. Servant, notice these words, servant and doing. What do you get from that, Brother Marlon? You get a servant. Not just a pew warmer. Not just a member of the choir, not just even a preacher, but a servant. If a man thinks he's something special, and he's kind of caught up in his own pride, he ain't ready for the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you who's ready for the coming of the Lord: those who believe themselves to be servants. Servants. Everybody going in that rapture will be a servant. Did you hear me? Everybody's coming after the servants. Hallelujah. He's not coming after big names and big IUs and big celebrities. I don't care how religious they are. They may be the best singer in the world, but if they're not living ready for the coming of the Lord, they're not going nowhere. It's servants he's coming for. But so doing. Servants, so doing. So doing what? Working for the Lord. Busy. What servant's supposed to do? Now, if you'll read this, and I don't have time for all of it, but if you'll read this, he makes some big, strong promises to these people who are ready. He plainly says to them that he's going to make them ruler over all he has. He plainly says that they're going to become his kings and his queens and his governors and his presidents and his men and women of celebrity status. I don't mean celebrity in the sense of worldliness, but celebrities in the sense of his kingdom. See, when he comes in that rapture, he comes to get people who are going to serve him for eternity, and we're going to rule this earth. It blows people's mind when I say on the radio that the Jews are going to inherit Jerusalem and all the land promised to Abraham, but the rest of the world, we're going to inherit it, and we're going to be the kings, and we're going to be the queens, and we're going to be the governors, and we're going to be the councilmen, and this whole world will be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Master, and we will be those who set the government in its right direction and make sure that righteousness fills this earth like the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. And it will be a world that is absolutely triumphant. Hallelujah. When you begin to study that millennial reign, when this earth will be like a Garden of Eden, from the North Pole to the South Pole, there'll be no more sea. It'll be a place of absolute prosperity. The reapers will overtake the seed sowers. Hallelujah. They'll beat their instruments of war into pruning hooks instruments of harvest and the gathering of the fruit. And the world will be full of plenty that satisfies the longing of every heart. You say, Brother Chambers, when you talk about that day, it sounds like you're looking for something great and something that will really be some kind of special people. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everything that this world loves, we will have in plenty. And it won't be because we love it. It'll be because the Lord hath provided it for us. And we'll be satisfied with his triumphant blessings. Hallelujah. Anybody excited about that? Wouldn't miss it for the world. Hallelujah. I don't care what he puts me doing. Just let me be doing his business. Amen. So, You read these verses again through the week, and you look at the promises over all of his goods. Everything. Think about heaven now. and all the angels and all the beauty of that place and all the magnificence of their gardens and the great music that's being played. I'm just sure Brother Johnny is going to be playing that sax up there. And the sax will be a golden sax, brother. And the tune, the beauty of the music that will come out of that sax will be something like this world don't know anything about. It'll be gorgeous, and you'll have the capacity to play the notes perfectly. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you something, folks. We got something awaiting us. We got something awaiting us. Anybody raise your hand and say, hallelujah. I got to be part of that. I got to be part of that. I got to be part of that. Now, I can't end without the last point, and that's beginning with verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Do you know what this world is ed up with right now? Do you know what the church world is flooded with right now? A multitude of people that have forgot about Jesus coming. A multitude of people that don't want to hear it anymore. A multitude of people who are so caught up in their own pleasure. They want to build mansions. They want to have great substance in the worldly sense. They want, he said, but if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. I'm here to tell you, he hasn't delayed nothing. I'm here to tell you tonight, everything is on time. Everything is on schedule. There is nothing out of God's divine plan. Hallelujah. It's all right there. But here are people, and the world's full of them. There's never been such an abundance of church people who have decided the Lord have delayed his coming. A man and woman who used to be leaders in the state of North Carolina for the church, I mean very, very high level, was at the funeral home for Brother Williams, and they came over to Mom and I, and the wife said, the happiest days of our life. They were members of our church, and she was on the staff there. She said, the happiest days of our church life was at Paul Creek in those days. And they talked about it grandly. They talked about it grandly. And I said to her, how long has it been since you heard a sermon on the rapture? She said, I don't even remember. I don't even remember. Now, what do you think? Do you think that this has happened to them? I know this is what's happened. The Lord, my Lord delayeth his coming. And they began to eat and drink. They began, one, to smite the fellow servants. I don't think this meant beating and pound on them, just taking advantage of them. And to eat and drink with the drunkards. I mean, they enjoying the world. They enjoying going here and going there. Here's a trip here. Here's a trip there. Here's another trip there. And the right amount of that's not wrong. I'm not coming against it. I'm just telling you, when pleasure consumes you, when pleasure takes hold of you, when it becomes your most important thing, you're in trouble. Here they are, and they are all caught up. They begin to smite their fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunkards. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Notice that. In a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he's not aware of. I mean, how many of you, if Jesus would come tonight, it would catch you by surprise? How many? Would it catch you by surprise? Or would it be something you're looking for? If it would catch you by surprise, then this fits you right here. Don't ever live where it would catch you by surprise. So live that if you would hear that trumpet sounding somewhere up on that horizon, you would be able to say right then, that's it. That's it. Man, hallelujah, what a moment. What a moment. But here they are. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? And he comes, and they're not looking for him, and they're not aware of him. They shall be cut asunder and appointed with the hypocrites, and their portion shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Wow. Now that's what he said. Not Brother Chambers. He said the church is going to have these people. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. He said that in this very chapter. I'm going to tell you something, church. It's about here. It's about the hour. we are sitting right on the verge. It's like we're sitting on a powder keg that's about ready to blow up when the trumpet sounds. It's like we're just sitting right on ready. I mean, go, go, it's time to go. Hallelujah. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. If you are really ready and you really want to be ready and you really want to so live that under no circumstance can he come without you being able to welcome him and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I know what you're dealing with. I'm dealing with the same thing, but I got to go with him. Would you stand if you mean business to go with him? We just stand. I want to go above everything else. I've got to be ready. I got to go. I got to meet the Lord in the air. I got to be right in the middle of that great trumpet sound. Hallelujah. Everybody, get your heart on it right quick, will you? Set your heart on the coming of the Lord above everything else. Put everything else out of your mind. Put everything else out of your mind. I've got to be ready. I got to go with Jesus when he comes. I'm going to pray. I'm going to cry out before God. Hallelujah for my loved ones. And you need to do it like you've never done it. I'm here to tell you, if I know the signs of this Bible like I think I do, we are so on ready. We are so on the moment. We are so near the coming of the Lord. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, church. Will you lift your hand and just worship a minute? Father God, we're hungry tonight. Man, we're hungry, Father. We're hungry, Father. We can hardly wait for that sounding of that trumpet, Lord. What a moment. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, somehow tonight, right here where we stand, may the Holy Ghost shake us to the foundation of our being. If there's anything would hinder us, we can feel it and see it and do something about it. Father God, get a hold of this church family. Get a hold of every one of us. Lord, get us ready for that coming. Hallelujah. How many in this building know right now you are ready? There's not one doubt in your mind. Raise your hand way up high. I am ready. Now you better make sure you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. If there's anything that would make you think you're not ready, please do something about it. Do something about it. Do not wait. There is nothing that's worth waiting for. I'll stay here to help my loved ones. No, you won't be no help to them. Because the very moment you are found out to be a servant of the living God, the very moment they find out you're one of those resistors, you'll be out of here. You'll be gone. They'll get rid of you before they can say scat. I'm telling you, there's nobody more likely to be eliminated than people who really believe this but just wasn't quite ready. I'm telling you, that's going to be a sad crowd. Oh, that's going to be a sad crowd. Hallelujah. I want you to meet me in this altar. Let's come right here and stand before him tonight with absolute abandonment. Let's put everything we've got on this altar. Let's believe him to get us so ready that nothing could turn us aside. That nothing could stop us. That nothing could turn us aside. Let's start believing for a Holy Ghost rapture, a Holy Ghost revival, would you? A Holy Ghost revival. I want the men, if you would, to move over here. That's one thing we're going to start doing, is us men pray on one side and the ladies on the other side. I think that would be helpful, so the ladies then could pray with the ladies and the men could pray with the men. Like in these altars, I want us to start having people praying that know how to help somebody. I really do. Come on up close. Come on up close and let's get ready. Sorry, mother, but you'll enjoy walking across there. I'm telling you, church, he's coming. He's coming in a moment. He's coming imminently. Any minute now, he could appear. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Can you go right now? How many can say, I'll go right now? Hallelujah. Now throw your hands up and love on him and seek him with all your heart. Father, I love you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I'm ready for you. I want you to come. I want a Holy Ghost revival, Lord. I want a Holy Ghost revival, Lord. I want an outpouring of God's Holy Ghost that will stir me to the core of my being. I just let him have his way. Father, move on these your saints, these blessed people, these young men. Move on with the moving and the power and the work of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I'm believing. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Hallelujah. I gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. When you come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Oh, pray, church, will you? You just pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Oh, get us ready, Lord. Get us hungry, Lord. Get us so hungry that nothing else matters. Being ready to go. Being ready to leave here. Being ready to be out of here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, say to revive you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All these words in the book, oh, they're spoken by Jesus, folks. I didn't preach from Paul tonight. I preached from Jesus. Hallelujah. I know it's all the Bible and it's all Holy Ghost anointed, but I love it when Jesus says it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Young men, I want every one of you full of the Holy Ghost. I want you full of the Holy Ghost. I want the fire of God on your soul. The fire of God burning like a light from heaven. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, you're looking for Jesus. Every time there's a strike of lightning, you wonder if that's it. Every time there's a sound of thunder, you wonder if that's it. Every time there's some unusual event, you wonder if that's it. Hallelujah. Just living for it. Just watching for it. Wow, Brother Dylan, what a day. I'll throw your hands up now and y'all just pray a little bit. Wow. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. What a joy. Oh, fill your church with such fire. Fill your church with such fire. Fill your church with such fire. Lead us, brother Johnny. Lead us in prayer. Hallelujah. Everybody pray with him. Everybody pray with him. Hallelujah. He's not praying for you. He's praying with you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I've got to have a Holy Ghost revival, Father. I got to have a Holy Ghost breakthrough, Father. I'm not going to give up until the power of God comes in His splendor, shakes this place to its foundation. Hallelujah, I'm looking for the rapture. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for that grand moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the customary mind of Osabaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That the Lord might be magnified. That the Lord might be magnified. Lord, get us ready. Get these young men so ready. Oh, Father, I pray every one of them, every one of them. I pray for Nathan. I pray for every one of them. You get them ready, Lord. You move in their hearts, Lord. You pour out your fire on them, Lord. You pour out your anointing on us, Lord. Hallelujah. We're looking for the coming. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, reach over and get somebody's hand close to you there, will you? Reach over and get somebody's hand. Oh, hallelujah. I love it when we're just a big old family praying for one another. Now pray for one another, would you please? Father, help our people. Oh, I don't want nobody to miss that rapture. Oh, I don't want nobody to miss that rapture. I know there's so many burdens that we bear. It's unthinkable, God. Oh, I know there's so many that are unsaved and they're heavy on our hearts and we're weeping and praying for them. Oh, Father, but we know that when it's time for you to come, you're coming. Hallelujah. It matters not who is or who isn't ready. When you come in, you come in. When it's time, it's time. Hallelujah. Such an hour as we think not. Such an hour as we think not. In such an hour as we think not. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe you for my children, my grandchildren, God. I love them more than words. And I believe in you, God, to deal with them by your Holy Ghost until they can't sleep at night, until they wake up with a call of God on their heart, until they hear the whispers of the Spirit. Holy Ghost, you can whisper in their ears and make anointing real more than anything I can ever say. And I'm believing you to do it. I look quite pretty. Oh, hallelujah. Make our home so Holy Ghost filled that our kids can't walk in the door without feeling the tremble of God's presence. Without feeling the tremble of God's presence. Fill Yvette's home so full until if her boys come over there, other kids come over there, they'll know that Jesus is in that place. They'll feel the call. Make Marlon's home so full of the Holy Ghost that when his children come by there, they'll feel a shaking and a trembling all over them. The same with brother Johnny's and sister Judy's and the Beatty's and brother Buck and sister Jeanette. Hallelujah! Every one of us, God, get us so ready. How many of you want your house to be so full of God? You want the Holy Ghost to be so real upon you that your children can hardly stand to come around you because they know what they're going to feel and they know what they're going to see. I believe with all my heart the reason my children are staying clear of me is because they can hardly stand it when they come there for Mama and I. I mean, that's just something real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want our home to be so Holy Ghost filled that nobody can come in the yard without knowing God's in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. Thank you, Sister Jeanette, for being with us tonight. Sister Jeanette Welch. Just a joy. Good to have you, Joe. Good to have you, Nathan. Hallelujah. Let's get ready for the coming of the Lord. Wednesday night is Bible study. Saturday morning is breakfast. You hadn't eaten Brother Marlon's breakfast. You need to try it. You'll come back. How many believe you'll come back? I tell you right now, Sister Dolores, she'll stand for him. Of course, she's his sister, you know. But she's honest about it. Hallelujah. Wonderful. God's good to us. God's good to us. I want a Holy Ghost breakthrough. How many are waiting and expecting a Holy Ghost breakthrough? I mean, I was so excited about church this morning. I could understand not having church. And the sermon the Lord had given me was, I mean, it was on my heart heavy. Hallelujah. But I guess the Lord knew what he's doing. Hallelujah. It'll keep. Sermons will keep. Did you know that? If they're from the Holy Ghost, they'll keep. How many of you, a sermon that's from the Holy Ghost will keep? Hallelujah. You can open that jar several times, and it'll be just as fresh if the Holy Ghost is in it. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to you preaching.